Thessalonians chapter number 3. Again, thank you so much for your support. I appreciate Brother Sexton allowing me to come and preach in his pulpit tonight. I want to be a help to you out of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. If you would, when you find your place, let's all stand. Reverence the reading of God's Word. Praise the Lord for a Wednesday night prayer meeting and to come and look into the Word of God. I feel like this will be where the Lord would have us to be tonight here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And won't take time to read it tonight, but if you want to see where Paul is in this spot here in Thessalonica, you'll find it corresponds with Acts chapter number 17, how that Paul the Apostle had been preaching in Thessalonica, and he went down to Berea and was preaching there, and the Bereans were really listening, but those in Thessalonica came down, and they stirred up the people against the Apostle Paul for preaching the Word of God, and he had to leave on his own and go down to Athens, and I believe that's where we pick up here as Paul is writing back to those in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. He said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left alone at Athens alone. And he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 2. He said he sent Timothy to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. Then in verse number 5, he said, "For this cause, when I can no longer forbear," he said, "I sent to know your faith." I want to ask you this question tonight. I want to ask you, how is your faith? I believe that's what Paul wanted to ask. He sent Timothy to find out about the church of Thessalonica. How is your faith? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd touch me and help me to preach tonight. I pray that you'd help me to say all that I shouldn't and nothing that I shouldn't. I thank you for this man of God and this people, and I thank you for this opportunity to stand here, God. And in my own power, I cannot help them. But Lord, you know each burden of every heart. You know what everybody's going through here, each family, each individual. And I pray that you'd speak through me to them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach on that thought here out of this text, and I wonder, how's your faith tonight? And I'm not preaching what some of these the word of faith movement. I believe, Brother Sexton, they got more faith in their own faith than they do in the Word of God, and they've got a lot of faith in the faith that they can have, and you'll find that they don't know a lot about the Word of God. But Paul here in 1 Thessalonians, he's dealing with this church of Thessalonica, and the last time that he heard about them or saw them, they were doing a great work of faith. You look here at chapter number 1, you'll find that this church in Thessalonica, they were a church that was doing a work of faith. It says in verse number 2, Paul said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." And so this church here, the last time that Paul had heard about them, they were doing a work of faith and a labor of love. Hey, that's what a church ought to be doing. And faith promised mission that this church partakes in, and God's greatly using it in that. And it's simply, that's what it is. It's faith to do the missions that you do here. And it is a work of faith and a labor of love. I say there may have been a few times, maybe throughout the years, Brother Sexton, where you wondered if it was going to come in. Maybe it's not that way here. Hopefully it's not. But it was a work of faith and a labor of love to work for God. And so this church here, they're doing a work of faith. And not only that, they were walking by faith. Hey, the Bible
says we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And then he said, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Hey, the Christian life, we're supposed to be living a life believing something that is not seen. Isn't that right? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, for by the elders obtained a good report. And so it says through faith we believe that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. Hey, I believe by faith tonight in Genesis 1:1 when it said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And serving God and believing the Bible, we have to believe it by faith. Isn't that right? And so faith is believing something that is not seen. But tonight, nobody will believe your faith and my faith and that this church has faith if they cannot see it. Would you agree with that tonight? If they cannot see our faith and the pastor can't see your faith, he's not going to believe that you have any faith. Isn't that right tonight? And Paul is saying here, I'm concerned about your faith. He said, the last time I heard about it, the last time I saw you, you was walking in faith. And hey, it said there in chapter number 1, he said they became followers of us. And tonight, if you're going to walk by faith, one, you're going to have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you'll follow the man of God, the shepherd that God's put over you in the house of God if you're walking by faith. Hey, not only that, but they had words of faith. It says here in verse number 7, he says, so that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. And so Paul, he's dealing with a church that the last time he heard, they was really, their faith was functioning like it ought to be. Y'all see this tonight? And it was functioning like it ought to be. He said, you're doing a work of faith. The last I heard, he said you were walking by faith and you was following the men of God that I sent down there to you. He said you had words of faith. Everybody knew the words of faith that were coming out of your mouth. And then he tells them here in verse number 9 and 10, he said, for they themselves show unto us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so tonight, I believe that will be a church's goal, don't you? I heard a preacher preach out of Thessalonians 1 there one time on a pattern for a church. Hey, wouldn't it be great if all the time the church was doing a work of faith, the church was walking by faith behind the man of God and behind God, and the had words of faith out in the community, and they was waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, the last I heard of you, that's what was going on. But I wonder tonight, how's your faith? Does it line up with what was going on here? And so Paul is wondering about that. And in chapter number 3, he has some warnings for their faith. He has some warnings for their faith. You say, well, how will I know tonight if my faith is all right, preacher? How will I know if my faith is functioning all right? And I'm asking you tonight, how's your faith? And this is the way that it ought to be. I wonder tonight, a faith that is functioning the right way will want to please God more than anything else. It'll want to please God more than anything else. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, or verse number 9, I believe it is, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It said on down there, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I'm telling you, walking in days like Noah's day, we're walking in days just like Noah's day was. The thoughts of the hearts of people's hearts is only evil continually, and it's a lot harder to walk by faith in a land and in a country where it's darkness and ungodliness and unrighteousness, and we still got to walk by faith. Hey, out here in this world, it gets hard to walk by faith, doesn't it? It's hard to walk by faith at a workplace where they cuss God and everything else, isn't it? It's hard in a world where a president stands up and condone sodomy openly, but tonight we don't need to worry about them. We need just have faith in God and keep on working for God and doing what God would have us to do and saying, God, I want to please you. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, I believe, dear friend, we may ought to be informed of some of the things about this world, but we ought not to get entangled with the worries and the cares and all the things of this life, so we can't be a warrior in the army of God. And I wonder tonight, was there a time in your life when you wanted to please God more than you do now? If not, something's wrong with your faith. Is that right tonight? There's a time you wanted to please God more than you do tonight, something's wrong with your faith. Hey, there's also not just a faith that is functioning right, will want to please God, but it will want to access God. Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that saving faith that brings justification. Thank God for that. I'm glad to be justified tonight. But hey, you know what else that brought? The Bible says this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I'm glad tonight. When I got born again, I got hooked up to heaven. Hey, the Bible said over there in Hebrews 6, it says there, wherein God, willing more abundant, is showing the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who hath fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. He said, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus Christ, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And how sad tonight that we don't have enough faith to pray and to access the God of heaven tonight. Wonder how your faith is. Can you pray the prayer of faith? Can you get a hold of God tonight? Maybe y'all got it figured out. So I'll preach to me tonight, all right? Hey, faith that's functioning right, it'll want to please God. It'll want to access God. It'll want to glorify God. You say, well, preacher, I had faith in God, but it just didn't seem to go like I wanted it to. It didn't come like I wanted it to. Let me tell you about a man named Abraham that left Ur of the Chaldees over there in Genesis chapter number 12. And if I'm remembering right, it was some 40 years later before God ever, Isaac was ever born. If I'm remembering that right, so it was a long years before that happened, and God gave him a promise. But you know what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 4? It said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hey, tonight you can have faith in God. All his promises are possessions tonight, and there ain't no use to doubt God now in this day that we're living in. Hey, well, do we want to access God and please God and glorify God? If your faith's functioning right, it'll do those things, but it'll also stand for God. The Bible says over there in the book of Ephesians 6, having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It talks about having on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. But it said above all taking what? Above all taking the shield of faith. And he said, well, that shield of faith, brother, he said, we could quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I was quoting that, and I thought, was that word all in there? It means what it says. That tells me faith. If we really have faith tonight and we take that shield of faith in this battle of the Christian life, there's no darts that Satan can throw at us if we'll have faith in God, that faith can't quench tonight. It says you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I wonder, how's your faith tonight? Been wanting to please God this week more than you ever have before?
You've
been wanting to access God. How's your prayer life? Hey, you've been wanting to glorify God. You've been wanting that last one to stand for the Lord. How's all that going today? And so I believe that would be a functioning faith, don't you? Hey, I don't live up to all of that, but I sure want to. I want to be functioning that way. And hey, I'd say this crowd right here with what they is doing according to chapter number 1, that's what was taking place the last time that Paul had heard about them or saw them. But Paul in chapter number 3, some quick things tonight, and he warns them. He is worried about their faith. He wasn't worried, I don't believe, in a sinful way, but like a shepherd's heart. Now tonight, some things that I'm preaching, I don't know your heart. I'd say the man of God, maybe some things I've already said tonight, or what I'm about to say, the man of God knows you personally. He knows what your family's been through, what all's taking place in your life. And hey, I hope this will help you tonight. But Paul is writing to them with his heart broken because Satan had hindered him, according to chapter number 2, from coming to them and seeing them face to face, and what a great desire that he had. So he asked them here in verse number 3, said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Y'all see this tonight? He said, when I was with you, I told you about the affliction. I told you about the tribulation. And I wonder how you're doing with it tonight. And he said, I've sent Timothy to ask you, how's your faith in the midst of these afflictions? Job said, man that's born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. You know what my favorite part about that verse is few days. Hey, a man born a woman's a few days and full of troubles. I don't like the troubles. You know what Paul said over there in the book of 2 Corinthians? I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't look at it that way a lot of times, do you? I mean, it don't even hardly take. I'm ashamed of myself a lot of times. How a little bit of a problem, a little bit of affliction will get me worried and troubled, and it'll get me just down and out. Anybody else like that tonight? Hey, we're a bunch of thumb-sucking babies in this Christian generation, and I'm included in that. I mean, hey, Paul the Apostle, he'd been beat. He'd been left outside the town, been stoned for dead. I mean, hey, he'd suffered shipwreck, and he said it's a light affliction. Well, the air condition didn't work down at church. I want to get it fixed, don't you? He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Mine feel like they're going to last forever. What about yours? He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He said, it worketh for us an eternal weight of glory. Thank you. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Say, how do I have faith in that, preacher? Paul flipped it around. Paul had burdens in his life. He is carrying a load. Hey, wherever he went, God never took away. He never took away that messenger that was buffeting him there. But he said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. And Paul had faith in that grace. And he said that light affliction, which is but for a moment. He said over there in Romans 8, he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You're glad to be a child of God tonight. Say, well, why does our president hate us? And he does. Why does this country hate us? Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. He said, it hated me before it hated you. He said, are you better than your master? Hey, the more you walk like Jesus Christ, the more they're going to hate you. Hey, they didn't like his words. They didn't like his wounds. They didn't like, especially didn't like the woes that he preached. And they said, crucify him, Pilate. And Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Hey, if you live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, you're going to suffer persecution. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hey, there's affliction in the Christian life. We might as well realize we're appointed unto suffering. We're appointed unto afflictions. Said it there in verse number 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You've been moved by afflictions tonight? You've been moved by some afflictions in your life? I'm just trying to preach what God gave me tonight. Been moved by some afflictions tonight? Hey, he's saying, We're coming down there, and you don't need to be moved by the afflictions. You're appointed under those afflictions. And God, hey, the Bible says over there in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible said, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trying of your faith, though it be much more precious than gold that perisheth, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hey, when those afflictions come by, don't look for a place to quit. Don't look for a place to crawl under a rock somewhere, but just say this is an opportunity for the judgment seat of Christ to bring praise and honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm afraid there's too many people in this walk of faith that have given up because it is a hard thing and afflictions come. This make any sense tonight? Hey, he said, how's your faith in the midst of those afflictions? I ask you tonight, if you're a child of God, you're appointed unto afflictions. Not only that tonight, but he says here in verse number 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now, my understanding, tribulation is not just troubles and burdens, but it's those troubles and those burdens under pressure. Hey, I can deal with some things as long as I don't feel pressured with it. Just some afflictions and troubles in life that just daily I can go along with those. But it seems like sometimes they just come from every angle. Seems like just troubles all around. Does that make some sense tonight? Just all at once seems everything's going wrong. And I'm pressured to do this and to do that and make this decision and that decision. And Paul said, I'm worried about your faith with the afflictions that you're under and the tribulation that's pressuring you in the midst of it. If you're going to live for God, there's some pressure, isn't there? It's a pressure tonight to live for God. You want to raise your kids for God? This world's going to mock at you and laugh at you. There's tribulation and trouble that comes. Wonder, how's your faith tonight? How's your faith? Afflictions, the tribulations. But he says here, in verse number 5, he said, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear. Hey, let me stop there and say, aren't you glad for a man of God that lays awake at night? I believe you've got that kind of man of God that lays awake at night praying for people. So how you know Paul was doing that? Look what he says there in verse number 10, night and day, praying exceedingly we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. But he said there in verse number 5, for this cause, he is worried about them in their afflictions. He is worried about them in the tribulation. Hey, Brother Sexton, do you ever during the week think about your people out there as they're at their jobs and at the schools and different things, where how they're doing, how the sheep are doing, and you're burdened about them? And I'm sure Wednesday night, I know I'm glad to see the people come in, the few that we've got, and just have a little while with them to pray and to preach to them and try to encourage them to continue on the things of God. And Paul said, I couldn't forbear any longer. He said, them afflictions you've been going through, tribulation. But he says here, verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. There's temptation out there. You men, temptation, Satan wants to derail your faith with the temptation of this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of the Father, but they are of this world. Hey, Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not to be of this world. And if the Holy Ghost lives inside of you tonight, I'm telling you, the filth and the ungodliness of this day will sidetrack your faith if you don't watch out. Every billboard, everything seems like in the world today is just like Noah's day. The thoughts of their heart are only evil continually. Tell you, man of God, dads, you better watch out. Hey, Satan don't just come after the weak ones. That may be who he comes after the most to bring temptation. Yes, stay in the Word of God and stay in the house of God and stay on your face and then stay steadfast in the faith. But Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. He tempted him. I believe Jesus was God and man. He was man enough to be tempted, but he was God so much that he could not sin. And hey, but Satan tempted the strongest man that ever lived, spiritually speaking, in Jesus Christ, and he will tempt us tonight.
Hey, don't you like that verse over there in 1 Peter chapter number 5? And just the Bible said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that's a loaded verse, you know that? Say, why is that? The next verse. You know what the next verse is? After God said, casting all your care upon him, you think it brought it after this verse? But he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He said, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. I say, what was he talking about? Do you have to be this superhero Christian? No, friend, just daily walking by faith and coming to the house of God and worshiping God and witnessing out in the community and raising our children. Hey, it's a walk of faith, and the devil's after that.
Wonder tonight, how's your faith? He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, tonight, we go through the same things the world goes through, don't we? I got born again, it didn't exempt me from troubles and trials. It didn't exempt my children from temptations and troubles. But thank God, I've got a God to go along with me and to help me. I've got a Bible right here to chart my course of faith and a God that is pleased with that faith tonight. But hey, we better watch the temptations. I mean, hey, there's so much going on today, so much temptation in this world. It'll derail our faith. Hey, tonight, you can't be sitting looking at pornography and have faith in God. I just believe we ought to watch them computers. We ought to be careful with them TV. I believe you ought to just get rid of it myself. But if you have one, you better watch that thing like a rattlesnake in your living room. It is. It's a wicked, ungodly thing. And it's what's happened in our day. What's happened in our day, we've got a Hollywood heritage instead of a holy heritage. Or adultery started in the living rooms of our homes. What happened there? Right in the midst of in our homes today. Hey, Lot, it doesn't ever say, as far as I understand, it was sad that Lot offered his daughters. It's sad that Lot called them brethren. But I don't find anywhere it says he physically partook in the sin of Sodom. But the Bible said he vexed his soul. It vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing. Hey, tonight, there's some things out there that we have to see driving down the road. And let me encourage you, men and women alike, when the Holy Ghost says turn your head and don't look at that, hey, turn your head. You young people, if you're born again, the Holy Ghost says don't look at that, don't listen to that. The man of God, hey, you listen, because it'll defile your heart, and it'll sin still destroys and is deceitful.
Hey, there's temptations out there. Said it vexed his soul in seeing and hearing. There's some things we can cut off that we choose to look at, and we choose to leave on in our life. Hey, there's a lot of things in our life. Somebody said, is it a sin to be tempted? You ever wondered that? Is it a sin to be tempted? Well, obviously it's not completely, because Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But the Bible also says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and goeth by another way. But the simple passed on and are punished. I believe this. If you put yourself in a temptation situation and you're tempted, I believe that's sin. Does that make sense tonight? If you put yourself in a place where you know you could get tempted and you get tempted, I believe that's sin. Bible says in the book of James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And the Bible says, when sin hath conceived it, lust hath conceived it, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Hey, Paul didn't want to see a finish of what he had started down there in Thessalonica. And tonight, he said that our labor's not in vain. This man of God's labored over your families and labored over your souls tonight, and it'd be something sad for him to hear the report that you've been derailed in your faith out in some ungodly, unrighteous sin that he preached about and warned you about. It'd be sad, wouldn't it? We better watch it. Sin's still just as wicked. Just cause a lot of people are playing with sin in this day, and they're petting it and carrying it around, saying, see, it ain't as mean as them old time preachers said it was. Look at it, I'm playing with it. That's what they're doing, ain't they, Brother Sexton? Yes, you young people especially, you better watch out. Sin's just as wicked, just as deceitful as it's ever been in your hearts, just as deceitful as it's ever been, saved or lost. Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's wicked tonight. And Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the tempter, and he will tempt you tonight. How's your faith? Affliction's got you burdened down. Tribulation, hardships, the temptations. Don't you just hate the devil tonight? Paul knew there was a danger. You say, preacher, there ain't anything I can lay my hands on. Paul didn't have anything to lay his hands on either, all right? Look what he says in there in verse number 5. For this cause, when I can no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So, preacher, I ain't smoking dope tonight. I ain't drinking liquor. Probably nobody in here is. You may be. The Holy Ghost knows. I ain't running around with my wife. Hopefully nobody is. I ain't out cussing. Paul didn't label anything. And we think we got those things down, and we don't do all of that, we're okay. Is this okay tonight, Pastor? We think we're all right if we've got these so-called big sins down, you know what? But I'll tell you what's derailing the Independent Baptist Church is bitterness and envy and strife. That's what's taking place. You say, well, preacher, I don't think that's that bad. You aggravated somebody here tonight, one of your brothers in the Lord tonight. Hey, the Satan has tempted your heart and you've got bitterness in there. You better watch out. Your faith is not what it ought to be. Don't matter what you do, how much you serve God, if you've got aught against your brother, you better get it right tonight, because, hey, we'll find Paul said, I'm worried about you. I'm worried that the Satan, the tempter's tempted you. And he said, our labor be in vain. I was saved as a 13-year-old boy. In fact, the town we're in, right behind the building we're in right now, Brother Sexton, was where there's a CB food store there, and beside that store was where I sat on that bicycle at 3 o'clock in the morning and called on God. After about 4 weeks of deep Holy Ghost conviction, I didn't understand what was wrong with me, but I couldn't go to sleep. Preacher preached about hell, and hey, all I could remember is that verse he said, brothers, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At night I looked up to heaven. I didn't have no special prayer to pray, and there wasn't some fella there to lead me, dear friend, but there's a Holy Ghost. The soul winner showed up that night, and the wind was blowing. I got born again that night. Hey, there's a preacher named Brother Reese Cochran. He barely raises his voice. He don't take his coat off and get all slobber mouth. But the gospel went forward. And tonight I stand here because a man of God was willing. You know, that man, he'd do like this a lot because he had a speech impediment. He is running from God because he had that speech impediment. You know what God had to do? God had to burn his house down and almost kill his family. Brother East Cochran surrendered to preach. I still hear that voice sometimes. I still hear that voice, that invitation God given me. I got born again, and tonight I'm a product, thank God, of a faithful man of God that would stand and preach tonight. And I wouldn't want it to get back to Waverly, Tennessee. That Jimmy Moy has got out in temptation, and he's forsaken his wife and forsaken his children and forsaken the ministry. Hey, we better watch out tonight. How's your faith tonight? Satan's after us, isn't he? Paul wanted there to be a continuation. Look at what he says here in verse 6. And I'll be done here in just a minute. Verse 6, he said, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and then you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." He said, "I found out you are continuing." Hey, there's some familiar faces from when we was here 2 years ago. I'm glad to see some people come up, shake my hand. Didn't have to tell them my name. Said, "Hey, Brother Moyes, good to see you. I know y'all been praying for us. I'm glad y'all are continuing. We come by to tell you tonight, we're continuing. Y'all pray for our faith." Paul said there, he said, you know what tonight? I'm asking you, how's your faith? Because if your faith is functioning right, it'll help me. Isn't that what Paul said? He said that there in verse number 7. "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Wonder tonight, how's your faith? There's some missionaries that y'all support. It'd be a sad thing, Brother Sexton, for them to hear, like we've heard of other preachers running off and getting out in temptation. That'd be sad if one of us went to Brother Sexton. One of these other men of God. It'd be a sad thing to hear. But it ain't just the men of God. It'd be sad to hear that a mama run off and left her husband and her children. It'd be sad to hear that somebody got out of the house of God that's been serving God. It comforts my heart to go somewhere and they're still serving God. By faith, walking by faith. They got words of faith. Hey, they're doing a work of faith and they're waiting by faith. I say tonight, y'all believe the Lord's coming? How's your faith tonight? Over there in one of them parables, Jesus said, that woman come, that unjust judge. She kept on. How's your prayer life? He talked about, would the Lord find faith? How's your faith tonight? I've tried to mind the Lord the best that I could, Brother Sexton, tonight. How's your faith tonight? How's it going to be Sunday? Maybe God said something to you tonight. Paul wanted to know. He said, "The last time I heard about you, the last time I saw you, boy, you was doing a work for God. Hey, you was walking for God. Your words were filled with faith." He said, "You was waiting on the Lord. How's your faith now?" Let's all stand tonight, if you would, every head bowed and every eye closed. I've tried to mind the Lord tonight. I ask Ridgeview Baptist Church, if there's going to continue to be a church here, somebody's going to have faith. Does she play softly tonight? Is this all right, Pastor, to give an invitation tonight? I give you what the Lord gave me tonight. I wonder, has God turned over some rocks in your soul tonight and said something to you? As she plays softly tonight when she gets ready, I ask you tonight, don't just come because I'm asking, but if God has slightly nudged your heart, you saw some area where your faith is waning tonight, would you come? How's your faith? Mama, it takes faith to raise those children for God. How's your faith tonight? As your pastor comes tonight, I'll give it to him. Thank you, brothers.